Brenda has a two-minute inspirational talk for us today.
Okay, my two-minute talk. To the young people, especially. In my young women's Bible study on Saturday morning, we're studying the Purple Book, and we were talking about repentance yesterday. And so I was thinking about that, and where's my verse? Do you have my verse? Seriously? Okay. The verse is, I think, Mark 1:15 or something, about Jesus saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He preached repentance before he actually revealed exactly who he was. He began to get them ready, and so did John the Baptist. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I was thinking about repentance, and what it basically is coming out of denial. And I was thinking also about how, you know, the 12 steps with AA, they're actually pretty good if you believe in Jesus Christ. But the first one is admitting we're powerless over whatever, could be alcohol, and our life is unmanageable. If you know addicts, often before they come out of denial, they're like, "I can beat this, I can stop any time. I'm not an addict," but they are, aren't they? They're stuck and they will... People that get addicted to things, they'll lie and they'll manipulate because they want the thing they want. And until they come out of denial, they cannot repent. And it's just a little game they play. I can quit this anytime. So number two in the steps at AA is come to believe that a higher power could restore me. And number three, make a decision to turn my life over to that higher power. Well, that's Jesus. It can't just be the ashtray. You know, it's Jesus. And I love number four, make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So anyway, young people, if getting ready to know God means I'm going to get real and come out of denial and I'm going to repent, then we need to know it's okay to make that searching and fearless inventory in His presence because He loves us. And He will help us. Instead of, "I got this, I got my life, I'm going to make it all work." At some point, we usually come to a place where we say, "I'm not making this work at all. This is really not working. And I really need God." So I pray that, I just pray right now, Lord, for all the young people and all of us, that we don't just need You, Lord, to have spiritual gifts or to have a ministry or to have power. We need You to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of our lives, which says, "I'm not making this work. I need God." And God is there to help us. So help us all, Lord, to get real, to come out of denial, to repent and run to You. And thank You that You are right there to help us, right there to make our life real and full of righteousness and power and love and hope. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Brian Paul and worship band today. I love the presence of God, the way He supernaturally reveals Himself to us in praise and worship. I love how you guys connect with God so powerfully on Sundays because it... overflows into the whole atmosphere of the whole room, and I get to drink deeply of the Spirit because You are. Get comfortable here, if it's okay with you. So, one of our ministries is what we call Super Soul Winning Saturday. And first Saturday of every month, we have a treasure hunt team, a direct evangelism team, and an intercession team that has breakfast together and then goes to work for King Jesus. And David led the one that occurred when Brent and I were in England. And I wanted to give you a report of it because it was so awesome. This isn't all that happened, but one of the things that happened with the treasure hunt teams is that they seek God in advance to to look for clues. Ask God, Holy Spirit, give us clues as to what we're going to see out there to find treasures for you. And then they go out and find the clues. Well, David reports, today during our Super Soul Winning Saturday outreach, our treasure hunt team wrote down the words, many colors. In Hawthorne Park, they found a woman wearing an extremely vibrant assortment of colors. They had also written the word baby. Well, this woman had lost a baby within the last year and was heartbroken, and the Lord used the team to minister His mercy and love to the woman. Isn't that beautiful? How Jesus heals the brokenhearted. They also wrote down blue balloon and theater. And God led them to a person surrounded by blue balloons. And a young volunteer at the Holly Street Theater booth at Hawthorne Park as well. Both were God encounters that blessed people in great need. And also there was 4 salvation prayers in the midst of all that. So love that outreach, and I hope that you remember to keep praying for the harvest in the Medford area in southern Oregon. What was it, over 600 salvation prayers this year so far? And over the course of the last 5 years, wow, over 40,000 people have heard the gospel through our team members. Over 40,000 people have heard the gospel. And that's like going to a Blazer game up in Portland or, whatever other pro basketball team you like. As far as I'm concerned, there's only one, just the Blazers. I grew up in Portland, so that's where my heart is, I guess. But that's like two auditoriums watching Blazer games packed, two of them. They seat 20,000. That's a lot of people that are hearing the gospel. And about 8,000 salvation prayers in the last 5 years. So that's just beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. And I wanted to share a miracle. We like to try to share miracle stories, healing stories. This one out on the street. Before I went to England, I was doing some outreach in the Walmart parking lot. And this lady said, I have a horrible toothache. And I had the honor of praying for her, and the pain just totally disappeared. And she was just quite happy with that. So keep giving us testimonies, and let's just keep honoring God for an atmosphere of expectation for the miraculous, okay? Okay. I like to begin with something kind of funny. So there was a young dad who was cooking breakfast for his 2 young sons, Ryan, who was 5, and Kevin, who was 3. And they were arguing over who would get the first pancake. Dad saw it as an opportunity to teach a lesson. So he says, now boys, if Jesus was right here, he would say, my brother gets the first pancake. So Ryan turns to his younger brother and he says, okay, Kevin, you be Jesus. Reminds me of when I was a kid, my brother and I was about 3 and my brother was 4. And we had these brand new tricycles. And we also had on our farm just a little hill we could ride down and push it up, ride down, push the tricycles up, ride down again. And one of my earliest memories is my brother saying, I get the tricycles half the time and you get the tricycles half the time. I ride them down the hill and you push them up. One of the things I need inner healing prayer for, clearly. A new CEO takes over at a struggling company and decides to get rid of all the slackers. On a tour of the facility, the CEO notices a guy leaning on a wall and he can't believe the guy would just stand around on the job, especially right in front of him. The new CEO walks up to the guy leaning against the wall and asks, what are you doing here? I'm just waiting to get paid, responds the man. Furious, the CEO asks, how much money do you make a week? A little surprised, the young fellow replies, I make about $300 a week. Why? The CEO quickly gets out his checkbook, hands the guy a check made out for $1,200 and says, here's 4 weeks' pay, now get out of here and don't come back. The man puts the check in his pocket, promptly walks out. Feeling pretty good about himself, the CEO looks around the room and says in a loud voice, does anyone want to tell me what just happened here? From across the room comes a voice, yeah, you just tipped the pizza delivery guy $1,200. Crazy stuff happens. I think the pizza delivery guy had done our offering declaration up there, you know, and he walked away pretty happy. I'd like to talk with you on this subject this morning, God as a redemptive dad. God as a redemptive dad. Some years ago, I read a book called Father Hunger, and it was a very enlightening book because it shared how there's wired into every single man, woman, boy and girl, a desire to have a emotional, affirming, blessed connection with their earthly dad, and supremely with their heavenly dad. And I know Father's Day is a time of great honoring of dads, but it's also a very painful day for those of us. We all have equal father hunger, but some of us have had dads who didn't step up, or on the contrary, even were abusive. So it's a hard day for some. But I want to talk with you about the fact that God is our perfect heavenly Father. He said he would be the father to the fatherless. So if your dad did not step up, or you did not have a dad in your life at all, I want you to know you have designed by heaven a special relationship with God that is a higher level, if you will, than those of us that had earthly dads that were a blessing to us in our lives. I will be a father to the fatherless gives a special status to those that have a special, not necessarily status in terms of a love, but a status in terms of revelation. God wants to especially give you revelation about His depth of fatherly care for you, His daddy care for you. I've seen many expressions of that father hunger over the years. I even on my Facebook page, threw out the question, hey, would anyone like to help me with my sermon on Father's Day by answering the question, what my dad did right. And I was expecting, actually, frankly, I was hoping someone would respond. I wasn't sure anybody would, the way people scroll through their Facebook streaming so quickly. And I was hoping for 10, you know, or so. But man, there was over 90 comments. It's the most comments I've ever had, I believe. I might have had one other occasion when there was more good wishes related to my surgery I had a couple years ago. There was more comments on that. But this was at least the second most comments I've ever had on any Facebook. Why? It's because people have a desire deep within them to connect with an earthly father and a heavenly father. It's the way God made us. He made us with a need to have that connection. And without that connection, there's a sense of something missing. There's a heart-ish concern there that's missing. And I know that one of the responses was, my dad only took me to church one time. But you know, when I was in a tough spot in life, I remembered that my dad took me to church one time. And I looked up to God, and I connected with God, and He helped me, and I've been going to church in my life ever since. Can you see the value He put on dads? That He remembers the one time His dad took Him to church? Now His dad, He honored His dad, was a good dad in other ways, but just that one time going to church, that's how we esteem dads. That's how we honor dads. Another man, a part of our fellowship, said that he did not know his dad till he was 18, and then he lost contact with him between the age of 18 and 30. But you know, he posted some advice his dad gave him in his later years. He knew his dad later. But what was the advice? He was able to very clearly articulate it. Why? We remember the blessings of our dads. We remember the blessings and the advice of our dads. It's because we were made that way. We were wired that way. I had another comment from a friend in Astoria who said that their dad was a washout their whole life, but in his later years, he called up and apologized. And from that moment on, he stepped up and she said, my dad lived, his, her words, my dad's presence in my life worked redemption in my life. And I hadn't read that. I read that this morning. So it was way after I had decided that this was I felt like God was wanting to have this be the topic. The redemptive dad is God. And the redemption of dad, our redemptive dad in heaven through the ministry of Holy Spirit-filled dads on the earth. And so that's the topic today. And that's what we're going to be looking at together. I want to say a couple more things first, however. I'm not going to elaborate on them, so they're somewhat parenthetical. But I read one time that people work out their dad issues with their pastor. And I don't want you to do that. I went from pastoring a church of 400 people to pastoring a church of 50 people in 1 minute one time. Now, it wasn't that everybody left. It's like we moved to Medford and started a new church, and we started with 50 people. And the sociological dynamics are hugely different, pastoring a church of 50 than pastoring a church of 400. And I was the center, the pastoral care center of everybody, and I was amazed how some of the folks that had moved here to help us plant the church that I thought were just, everything was cool in their lives. Well, some of them not so, but relationally, they never caused me any problems, but when I had a more close relationship with them, bam, it became kind of difficult. So if you're ever tempted to take out your father issues in relationship to me, I'm very sympathetic, but we have inner healing ministers available waiting for your call. Well, I also want to say that sociologically, one of the things about same-sex attraction in our day is that it's a genetic-based thing. And that is a lie of the devil. And I want to tell you that for young men particularly, it relates almost always with young ladies that have same-sex attraction. But this force of a dad hunger is so strong that there needs to be a bonding, emotional bonding between the dad and a son that imparts emotional identity to the son. And one of the things that's happening in our culture at large is we are not really loving. We are not really loving people with same-sex attraction by honoring it as if it is biologically or genetic based. It is emotion based, and it can be healed when the Father's heart of God is poured into a young man's life or an older man's life with same-sex attraction. There's total healing that surges through them, and there's deliverance from that. From that identity crisis. Now, I know that's not popular than conventional wisdom of the day, but it's not my job to be a popular speaker. It's my job to tell you the truth. That's why I just said that. Redemption means, synonyms for redemption are retrieve, regain, recover, get back, reclaim, repossess, buy back. That's what the Father has done for us through the blood of Jesus. He bought us back into a father-son, father-daughter relationship with Him. You know, God justly so, rightly so. He's a creator; we're created, but He has a vested interest in this. It's not just that He wants us to have a dad; He likes being our dad. He wanted to have a big family. That's why He created us. And the delight of heaven is for him, for dad to relate to each one of us with his perfect dadness. Now I know dadness isn't a word, but one of the things I like to do is to create new words, like righteousified. You know, it's a theological word. Your new theological word that I'm coining is daddiness or dadness. And if you don't like that, just please forgive me. Don't work out that on me either. Or issue on me either. I want to share with you, in the time I have remaining, a few comments about how God's redemptive dadness is expressed. And my first brief talking point is that God's redemptive dadness is expressed through the miracle of the new birth. Now, I know birth is most often or exclusively a woman thing. Exclusively a woman thing. Not most often. Exclusively a woman thing. But God likes to think outside the box. Spiritually, the Bible says we're born of God. We're born of our Father in heaven. We're born, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, where it reads, we're not born of blood. And we're not born of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. We are born of God. And that is one of my absolute favorite verses in the Bible, because I have a great delight in and a great personal revelation. I cherish, I value, I revel in it. I savor the reality that I'm born of my dad in heaven. I'm born of him. I'm born from above. And so are you. And I hope that the born again phrase isn't something that is so commonly used that it's not of supreme value to you. Because the actual fact of what it means to be born from above or born again is your supreme ticket into heaven. No one can even see the kingdom of God unless you're born from above. But it also is the sheer wonder of it is stunning and staggering and worthy of our contemplation, our affection, our meditation. It's great to be born from above. Thank you, Father, that we are born from above. I love you all the more for it. If you're not sure you're born again, you are going to get a chance to be born again at the end of this talk today. So you be ready for that. If you're not born again, today's your day. Father's Day 2017 is a day you're going to get born again. So you be ready. If you're not sure, it's going to happen for you today. The miracle of the new birth is yours. Now, I want to refer to 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, continuing on from last week's talk. But I'm going to be applying it to fathers today and the wonderful redemptive dadness of our Father in heaven. 1 John 5, 4 and 5 reads, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Pause on that phrase. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Have you ever heard of the unholy Trinity? The world, the flesh, and the devil? All these three unholy Trinity objects are the enemies of the Holy Spirit-filled life. The world, its enticements, the flesh, that within us that Christ died for on the cross that really is dead, but lies to us and says it's alive, and the devil who fuels and feeds those items, those things. And what God wants us to do in our lives, in fact, if we are born again, born of God, there is a principle of supernatural life at work that overcomes the bondage of the world, the flesh, and the devil that has everyone else that's not born again in its grip, in their grip. That grip has busted off of us, and sure, we have temptations, and we fall, we fail once in a while from time to time, but the overall thrust of our life, the momentum of our life, is this work of the Spirit of God within us because we're born again. God is at work in our lives to change us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus. He who began a good work within us is continuing it till the day of Christ. There's a supernatural work of God begun in us when we're born again that grows and continues. The theologians call it the sanctification process that's building in us holiness and Christ-likeness in the fruits of the Spirit as well as the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. Someone has said why it was Solomon in his book, The Song of Solomon. He said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The little foxes in life that spoils the vine. You might say that has the grapes of God's wine, God's Spirit. It's the little foxes that can mess us up. What is the book of Hebrews says? That lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Those little foxes can mess us up in our journey and our walk with God. Jesus said, you're all clean because I've cleaned you. I've washed you. When he washed their feet, he said, you're clean by my word, but I also need to wash your feet. It's our walk that gets dirty. And in addition to being fully clean and cleansed by the blood of Christ, there is in fact this work of of the Spirit in our lives that our walk, when it gets dirty, we need to have it be washed out through confession, repentance, and through the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, washing that guilt off of us that tends to cling to us when we mess up. I was walking along on my prayer walk the other day and I was attacked by a dog. Now, the good news is the dog was about 6 inches high. But he was not wagging his tail, and he came at me biting. I was a bit embarrassed by my reaction. But I put my coffee cup down between me and that ferocious animal. Rabid, I'm sure. I looked around to see if anybody was watching. Only the owner was, and he reined the dog in. But I was reminded of that verse, the little dogs that spoil the vine. They can mess you up in your life too. Oh yeah, I knew I had to work that in somewhere. Second point. Let me read this verse. It's a lengthy reading, and I just have about 5 minutes left here today of my talk. But this is he, verse 6. This is, and relax. This is going to seem a little bit difficult, but I'm going to explain it afterwards, and you're going to understand it. But I want to read it so you know what I'm going to talk about. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. Now remember, the main heresy that was attacking the church that John was writing to is that Jesus did not really come in the flesh. And what John is advocating here is that Jesus came by water. That is, Mary's water broke. And she bled when he was born. And then John picks it up later when Jesus died on the cross. And the soldier, remember the soldier thrust his spear into the side of Jesus? What came out? Water and blood. He was dead. So there's a double meaning here in this statement, water and blood. In other words, Jesus Christ, yes, he did come as a human being. The Islamic teaching has it wrong. He did die on the cross for our sins, They say he did not die on the cross for our sins. He escaped before it happened. They're wrong on that. And he's fully human, just like you and me, even though he's fully God. And it's important not to ever let any attack of the enemy from any false teaching, false doctrine, false religion, attack that in your theology, in your belief system. But also, he died. His death on that cross, he died as your substitute. You deserve to die. And he died instead of you and lets you go free. He died instead of Dan Mickelson, and Dan Mickelson gets to go free. Hallelujah. Every day, hallelujah. Many times a day, hallelujah. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Don't let anyone ever tell you the Bible doesn't teach the Trinity. The Father, the Word, who is who? Jesus, and the Spirit, this Word says, are one in heaven. Three persons in one essence. You talk to the Spirit, the Father takes it personally. You talk to Jesus, the Spirit takes it personally. Three persons in one essence. They're one. It's beyond human ability to rationalize, but that's more a statement about the weakness of our fallen rationality than it is about truth. So we believe it. It's a crucial doctrine, crucial teaching of the Bible. Now verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, that He testified of His Son. My second talking point is God's redemptive dadness is expressed through the bearing witness, of the mainline media of heaven. Heaven has a mainline media. My friend Ari was a missionary in the northern part of South America for years and years and years. And I didn't know him for much of his life. I only got to be part of the last page and the last paragraph of his life. He did soul winning with us. He prayed people. He would often give a message in tongues here on Sunday mornings. He passed away a couple weeks ago. And I imagined Ari going into the wonder and beauty of heaven when he passed over into glory. And I don't know what you think about when you think about heaven. But I want to tell you this about heaven. It is supremely beautiful. The most glorious Southern Oregon scenery you've ever seen does not hold a candle to the beauty of the park-like features of heaven and the waterways and the mountains and the gardens and the green grass are just going to be beautiful. They're beautiful now, and Ari gets to enjoy those. To be a part of the fellowship of the church that's in heaven, the blood-bought ones that are already there. Do you think there's smiles on their faces in heaven? Do you have friends there? You have family there? Some of your dads are there. You know, it's a delightfully wonderful fellowship in heaven. There is never any loneliness there. There's never any loneliness. Everybody is happy all the time. There's no sadness, no tears. Everybody treats each other with respect and joy and the fullness of what it means to be supremely human in the presence of God the Father, Son, and Spirit. And how about the angels, you know? The angels are really, it says that we have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. That's what's in heaven. The fact that we're forgiven and the fact that dawns on us in heaven, that we have the righteousness of Christ imposed on us forever. The fact that we get to be with Him forever and feel His love forever. There's not one toxic emotion. There's not one negative feeling in all of the atmosphere, all of the environment of heaven. And there's never any sin. You guys never mess up in heaven. We never will. It's just awesome beyond words. But for Ari, you know what the supreme joy of heaven is? It's what goes over the loudspeakers. And I don't know if it's a language, or I don't know if it's imparted somehow supernaturally. God's not limited to language and communication on this earth, let alone heaven. But we do know that there's a testimony that rings out from the fellowship of the Trinity. Within the fellowship of the Father and the Word, the Son, that is, and the Spirit, there is a constant communication that the angels long to look into, the Bible says. The angels long to look into these things. And what is it that they long to look into? I tell you, my friends, it's a redemptive dadness of God. And what goes out to the angels that they long to look into is the sheer infinite wonder of the redemptive dadness of God. And the thing that fills Ari's heart to this moment, in this very moment, that is even beyond the delectables that I mentioned of the glories of heaven, is the redemptive dadness of God. The love of dad. The experience of dad that he was wired to know. I don't know what Ari's dadness was like on this earth. But I do know what it's like in heaven. And it's sheer wonder. And the beauty for you and me in this is that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to by faith see it. The reason that the Apostle John is writing this about the testimony in heaven is because he knows that by the Spirit, his readers can by faith enter into it in their now and have Christmas in July. You don't have to wait for Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. You can have all the presents now. You just have to exercise a childlike faith to delight in these wonders. So happy Father's Day. It's a wonderful day for kids of the Heavenly Father. I'm going to continue to talk about this next week because I'm so happy with this message. And I want to cut to the chase to wrap it up for today. But what I'd like to do is have Tina come up and play the keyboard again. Are you here, Tina, still? Yeah, can you come up and play the keyboard? And do we have those quotes about dadness? Can we have those at the end? I'm just going to cut to the chase on this. It's actually going to be my dad. It starts with my dad always listened. Yeah. I mentioned I had over 90 responses about what my dad did right. This takes about 5 minutes to go through. And we're going to have some music playing. I want you to look at this not just in terms of remembering any of your own dad's great victories. I'm not going through all the 92 responses, by the way. I just took about, I think there's about 20 or so from our own fellowship that I took out. And I actually even modified, I didn't change them. I had to edit them down to make them shorter so this wouldn't happen. But there was such a massive response. This is also a little hint of what your dad in heaven's like. But one of the ways dadness is expressed, my third point, is that dadness is expressed our daddiness, God's daddiness in heaven is expressed through dads on earth. God's daddiness is expressed through dads on earth. So when you read these, and you're going to read it through as music is playing, think of your dad in heaven as well as your dad on earth. God expresses his redemptive dadness in all kinds of ways, hundreds of ways, thousands of ways. Thousands of ways. But the three main ways that we've seen in this scripture today He expresses it through giving us the wonderful gift of being born of Him. Being birthed into a dad relationship with Him. Child relationship with Him. And to have the media of heaven communicating into our eternal future and in our eternal present on this earth. His passion and excitement and the delight of His heart is redeeming your life and working redemptively in your life. And He does that. Dad's one way does that is through us. And every single guy here is a calling, if not to be a biological dad, to be a spiritual dad to others. It is an amazing calling to work redemption in the life of others through an anointing of dadness on our lives. To not communicate directly our own abilities to be a dad, but to impart heaven's dadness to people's dad-hungry hearts. What a gift. What a gift. What a duty. What a reason to breathe, to live, dads. If you're not born again, this is your day. I'm looking to my far right. Look up at me and catch my eye if you are responding to Jesus and saying, I am being born again right now because I'm saying yes to Jesus in my life and starting this life with my dad in heaven. Catch my eye. I'm looking to my right. No one there. How about the right middle section? Look up and catch my eye. Is that what you're doing, ma'am? Okay, one here. Anyone else? Are you doing that back there? Okay. I'll misunderstand if you're looking up for any other reason. One so far. I'm looking to my left middle section. Catch my eye if you are you're saying, I want to be born again. I see a couple people recommitting their lives. That's awesome. Are you doing that, young man? Are you responding to Jesus? Very good. Very good. Looking to my far left. Say this after me, everybody, to make it easier for the people that are being saved today, who are being born from above this very moment. Dear Lord Jesus, I call upon You to save me. I confess You as my Savior, my Lord. I believe in my heart that You were raised from the dead. And I confess You as my Lord right now. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Now everyone Jesus called, He called publicly. I'm not going to have you come forward, but I do want you to stand up because we want to clap and cheer for you. So stand up, clap and cheer for this young lady and recommitment back there. Recommitment back there. Being saved, being born from above this very second. Now, you guys have friends, family members that you respect that are Jesus people. Contact them. They will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. They're gifts of God that have been praying for you. David and team are coming up for words of knowledge, for healing.
What a great message on the Father heart of God. I keep thinking if we only knew how much God loves us, we would never want anything but Him. Praise God. Well, I don't know about you guys. I'm planning on taking my father issues out on the pastor as much as I feel like. All right. Well, the Lord gave me two simple words for healing. If you have a common cold or flu and you've been fighting it for a while, He wants to break that off for you today. And then stomach pain. So come up and let me pray for you for that if you're experiencing those things.
If the enemy has stolen a healing from you in the past, God wants to steal it back from the devil today and give it back to you because it is legally and rightfully yours.
That's a good daddy. Hey, probably 30 years ago, I dedicated my little boy. And I wasn't the only one that day. But for whatever reason, when I stood up there, and there was like 2,000 people out there, And I held my little boy up. Everybody just went crazy. They were cheering. They were clapping. It was awesome. They handed me a VHS tape. I went home and I plugged it in and looked. And I was wearing black slacks and my fly was unzipped and I was wearing white shorts. I think they were cheering not because I dedicated my little boy, but as I held my arms up. Anyway, I wanted to say this morning that what God is doing, wants to do for some people, they're not able to do for themselves. And you're not able to step out of the old and into the new. And I want to pray for you this morning. The Lord wants to bless you. If you're tired of sucking on sour grapes, if you're tired of being reminded of the past, and God keeps saying step into the new, and you need some help, then come up for prayer this morning. And I believe there's some physical healings that are going to take place because there's some stuff hanging on to you. And once you make that commitment to make a response and step towards Jesus into the light, to say, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of hanging on to this stuff, then there's going to be some healing.
I was getting skull or back anywhere around those areas.
Skull and back.
What I got was deliverance. It could be deliverance from anything. It could... it's back on. It can be deliverance from anything. It can be pain or it can be tobacco, alcohol, drugs. Deliverance.
So I got the stomach and intestines or any stomach problems also. And I got hips, any hip pain, and hearing loss. I feel like some people have started getting hearing loss, so pray for that. And then arthritis. So that.
Let's stand. Stand up, please. These are impressions from the Holy Spirit, but God wants to bring healing to everybody. If the word if you have something you'd like prayer for that you didn't wasn't mentioned, please come flooding up here, come running up here and get healing prayer. We see lots and lots of healings for all this kind of stuff. We have an environment of faith for healing today, and every time we gather. Really, really want to thank you if you're a visitor for being with us. Don't forget we have a present for you at the welcome table. Thank you for joining us online from home. Happy Father's Day to you, to everyone at home. May God's power continue to strengthen, inspire, and bless you in your life and in your days ahead. I want to thank every single one of you for being here today. Brandon and I love you with all of our hearts, and we're so happy to be able to serve you in this season, the good news and gospel of the Lord Jesus. You're an awesome church to serve. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Don't forget to come up for prayer if you'd like. Thank you.
One, I was wearing a knee up in the race. I can tell to you. It's already funny. I'm completely pain free today.
Wow.
I got to church.
Wow.